You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora, my name's Ana Lucia. I'm standing as the Communist League candidate for Mayor of Auckland. The Communist League campaign presents a working class alternative in the City Council elections. We seek to join with working people as we confront the attacks that are coming down on us, on our rights and our living standards. These attacks are the capitalist response to a crisis of their system, and we don't believe we're the ones who should pay. Workers need to organise ourselves together to act, and to act independently of the capitalist bosses and their political parties.
Right, so you brought up kind of two things in that little intro there, both that you're from the Communist League and that you present a working class alternative to kind of the people that are currently in council or operating in positions of power within council. To which kind of end of that is your kind of position weighted? So, I mean, I'm sure that you can make an argument that they can only go together, that you can only have a working class alternative that is communist, but is there kind of a mid-ground for this mayoral campaign that you're kind of been towing as a line?
Well, I think Auckland as a city is class divided. There's an extremely wealthy layer that benefit from the current policies and actions of the Auckland Council. And we see that, for example, in the commitments made around the America's Cup versus what's happening on housing in Auckland. I mean, it's a very extreme illustration of what working people face in this city. So we have a campaign to speak for the interests of working people, and we make no apologies for that. We don't seek to speak for the interests of big business or capital at all.
Right, so what would you say the three main concerns of working people are in Auckland?
Okay, I think the key challenges that we face are transforming our unions to be the real kind of fighting instruments that can champion and defend and advance workers' interests. Unions, as they've become today, are sort of a shadow of what the power that they could yield. And it's only when we as working people enter into those unions, use them to fight for our broader interests, not just on the job, but the social issues that we face, that we can then begin to realise the power that we have. Secondly, just the need for unity among working people. One of the key issues in Auckland City is immigration. And immigration is used by the bosses to drive down wages and conditions. And the way to confront that is to unify together to fight for the interests of all workers, wherever you were born, whatever religion you face, and not allow the bosses to foster those divisions. For that reason, we call for amnesty for overstayers and full citizenship rights for all immigrants. This is the only way we'll have the unity within the working class to really realise the power that we have. The third key point would be around jobs. While unemployment is considered at an all-time low, we also heard this week record numbers of people working two jobs just because the cost of living in Auckland City is so high. I work in a place where most people are working 60-hour weeks just to try and cover the bills, send their kids to school. And we're saying that we need decent jobs that pay a wage where people can afford a home and support a family. And one of the programs we put forward around that is for government-financed public works programs, which will also address the needs of the breaking down of public and social infrastructure that we're facing.
How do you see these kind of key areas working on a local government level, rather than a central government level? Because a lot of these things you seem to propose, I think people would kind of regularly classify as central government policy. How do you see these being adapted or used as local government kind of plans?
Okay, well, in standing for the office of mayor, we're seeking to give a voice for these interests that working people face. And the only way that we can engage in issues both locally, nationally, and around the world is by building our own organisations. And that means addressing these central questions, because without the kind of jobs with living incomes, we can't be engaged in the political processes that are going on, contribute culturally to the life of the city, all of those things. So I think they're key to any kind of community engagement at all levels. I think the sort of differentiation that's imposed is actually an artificial one, because workers, as we begin to build our own organisations, build political institutions, strengthen our unions, we will address these issues on all levels.
Right. So going back to the three issues you listed, I framed it as being the three issues for working people in Tamaki Makaurau. Would you say that those are the three most pivotal issues for the general population of Tamaki Makaurau?
I think they're critical to working people. When I describe working people, I mean anyone who sells their labour to survive, whether you're a small business person, whether you're a factory worker, a teacher. I joined workers on the teachers' picket lines earlier this year. I've joined workers working in residential care homes for disabled this year as part of the effort of people beginning to try to use their unions to address the crisis that we're facing. The thing is that it's not just a crisis of our contracts and on the job, it's a bigger social crisis, and it comes from a crisis in the capitalist system. The constraints that Auckland City faces is imposed on us by the system, and it's a system that we need to get rid of, bring an end to, but we can only begin to do that by beginning to organise ourselves and realise our own power.
Right, so for people who sell their labour at very high costs or work in a like high finance job or a job that pays incredibly well, do you think that these issues kind of translate for them as well?
Well, there's a layer of people who get what I would call rents for their service to the capitalist rulers. And they call themselves the meritocracy, the people who consider themselves to be more informed and entitled to a better standard of living and so forth than the rest of us. My opinion is that as the labour movement and organised labour begins to organise, begins to show a road forward, the place of that layer in society will sort of begin to have less weight. And people will see that as working people, we can build a society based on solidarity and reject the sort of constant messages we get that the only way to advance is through self-promotion and competition.
Right, so you would then say that these are issues that are for everyone, including the meritocracy, as they are still technically working people?
Well, the meritocracy benefit from the capitalist system. Most of them are apologists for it. They might have criticisms of it around sort of elements of policy, and you see that probably most reflected in the differences between Labour and National, which are not differences in the sense of what it means for working people to live in the city. What we see, despite the denial of that there's any kind, these politics are reflected in local body elections, they're completely a part of local body elections. We see it. Phil Goff is completely a Labour Party man. In the part of the city I'm standing in, it's all Labour Party banners. But they're totally defending a system of exploitation that is driving working people to the wall, and that's what we need to end.
So how do we end this capital-driven enforcement or exploitation of working people on a local level or from a mayoral position?
OK, Okay, by voting for me, you're voting for yourself, really. It's about beginning to organise a fight, beginning to use our unions on both a local and national level. That's why we say unions are not just about questions on the job, they're about social questions. And there have been times in New Zealand's history where unions have really played this role and taken on the big social questions we face, whether it's housing. The whole fight for public housing came out of a struggle by the unions as workers were faced with exploitative landlords. And, you know, public housing came out of that fight. It wasn't some generous measure of a well-to-do government. Our campaign is really about putting forward a platform that we can begin to organise around and fight for. So we're not saying this is by voting for us, this is what you're going to get. What we're saying is by voting for us, you're voting for yourself to begin to join in this fight, to begin to change this system.
Right. And so you mentioned the issues of jobs, amnesty for overstayers and unions, and I think housing as well is something you've brought up. What are your kind of key ideas on moving forward, especially with jobs and housing?
So the central question around jobs is for a fully funded government public works program, which would put both unemployed and underemployed people to work at union scale wages. So we're not talking about minimum wage, and put people to work. There's so much that needs to be done in the city. People, you just walk down the street and you can see it. Not just infrastructure wise, but the staffing, the hospitals, the schools. I mean, just this week we heard about schools in Auckland not able to find teachers at primary level. All of those things need to be addressed. And that's the beginning point around our jobs program. And likewise around housing, for a massive government and council program to build and upgrade the quality of housing, so that we have quality, affordable rental homes that people can afford to rent. The vast majority of people in this city rent, and that is not what's being addressed right now.
Certainly, I think that's an issue that's been raised with Kiwi Build as well, as although it's perhaps a okay program, it doesn't really address the two areas of housing that the market doesn't look after, if the market looks after any area of housing. And so you mentioned kind of upgrading the stock of, I'm going to lazily label it, state housing in Auckland. Do you think that that is a more preferential kind of way to move forward than building new stock entirely, or like wiping and rebuilding the stock entirely?
Well, I think that both need to be done. I mean, I spend a lot of time knocking on doors of working people, and the quality and standard of housing, whether it's rental housing from private landlords or the state, is appalling. And I mean, we're always hearing the news of people being sick and unwell because of unsafe housing. And, you know, that needs to be done immediately. There needs an immediate program to address that, but also to build more. I mean, the fact is that there's 12,000 people on the waiting list for to even get on the waiting list, you have to be in emergency need. But what we're talking about is a program that's much broader than that. I mean, public housing, when it was first established in New Zealand, the idea was that as a working person, you could get a house, you and your family could live in it for a lifetime and it would be an affordable rent. It was your home, and it wasn't just like something for a crisis for maybe 3 years until you found your way into the private rental market somehow. And I think, you know, that's really what we need to address, because all of those things bring into it social questions like stability, environment, and all of those questions which get raised on social policies.
A lot of candidates we've spoken to, both for council, local boards, and mayoralty, argue their kind of case based on merits. So essentially arguing that they deserve a place in what you could say is a meritocracy of council because of kind of the skills that they bring to the table. How do you see yourself fitting in, working in that system, and how do you see yourself perhaps within that kind of conundrum of it being a meritocracy, or being voted in or elected in based on your merits? Or are you purely a voice and that's what all of those positions need to be?
Well, I think you've touched on it right at the end, that I'm there to be an advocate. I'll be continue to join the people of Ihu Matau as they fight for their land and to have it protected. And I will continue to join workers on their picket lines as we fight to improve conditions on the job and to improve conditions in the city. I'm for no taxes on working people. So the council levels so many taxes on working people, whether it's registration of your dog, the regional fuel tax, also anything you have to do with council, the water charges. There's so many charges that working people face from council. So, you know, all of these things are things that we can begin to organise a fight around reversing the attacks on our social wage and, in fact, improving conditions in the city. But I don't think the primary avenue is through negotiations at council table. I think it's the weight that we begin to organise as we begin to fight on these things. And then that gets registered in council decisions. It's not the other way around.
Right. So with... You mentioned lowering or scrapping taxes for working people. Taxes and levies are obviously a large way that local government raises money. So how do you propose to go forward with other future projects without the money that is generated from those taxes?
Or working people in the city produce all the wealth of the city. They already steal the vast majority of it off of our backs. So the capitalists in the city can finance whatever the activities are demanded from the council by working people. We don't need to give 1 cent more to this capitalist state. It's completely based on robbing workers of the value of their labour. That's the way the system is set up. And any tax is just another imposition on working people like that. So, you know, the whole question of how the capitalists divide their resources is not one I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about organising working people to fight for what we need, and the pressure in the face of that fight, it will be delivered as we organise that.
Despite it being applaudable and kind of like a very idealistic approach, although idealistic and doable are not necessarily exclusive things, do you think it is necessary to be able to operate within that capitalist system for now until you kind of set up more or have more influence across both Auckland, Tamaki Makaurau, and New Zealand in general?
Yeah, well, our platform is about establishing a starting point to organise that fight on. It's not saying this is where we can be tomorrow. It's like we need to begin to organise this fight now, and we think that through the elections we begin to raise that platform and we can begin to fight for it. So it's not some abstract idea for something distant in the future. And in fact, I think it's the only realistic option for working people, because the crisis of the capitalist system is deepening. We see the instability around the world. I mean, people are sort of joke about the crisis in Britain, but it is a serious issue, and it's something that's continuing to expand worldwide. It's a crisis that's unfolding, and they have no solution apart from going after working people and taking more out of our backs. So the only way we can stop that is beginning to organise the fight to end it.
So is the Communist League standing any other candidates across the country, or is it just in Tamaki Makaurau at the moment?
Right now we just have myself standing for Mayor of Auckland and Patrick Brown for Council in Manukau.
Right, so would you ideally like to, you say you're raising the platform, so would it be beneficial for other kind of groups, perhaps say organized Aotearoa or the New Communist Party of Aotearoa or many of the other socialist groups across the country, would you like to see them kind of take a step into this realm as well to help raise this profile?
We're keen to join with anybody who wants to sort of fight along these lines. I mean, I think the key question is, you know, organising to act in the interests of working people. And that means not tail-ending the capitalist parties in their system, which is what happens in a lot of cases. People sort of say, well, we've got to go for the lesser evil and vote for someone it's going to be better than X or Y. And we're saying, no, we need to build our own organisations and we need to fight for what we need, not just settle for the lesser evil. So.
At what point, this is quite a broad question, do you think we'll, or you'll have enough strength in your organisation to be able to overcome the problems of the capitalist system?
Well, the system itself produces its own grave diggers. I mean, we see as the crisis deepens, the attacks continue and working people respond. We saw it when 50,000 teachers went on strike this year. We've seen it at Ihu Matau, it's, you know, Fletcher's moved in to try and take that land and begin its construction, and thousands of people responded. And it's those actions, as people begin to move into political action, then the possibilities to begin a broad social movement are transformed radically quite quickly. So, I mean, I don't think it's possible to put an immediate timeline on it, but I think the system is in such a crisis that the openings continue both here and around the world to begin to organise along these lines.
Do you think this fight will be enhanced by environmental crisis?
Well, I don't think the environment is separate from class politics. And I think it's one of the things that is often sort of put forward, that we have to all unite, whatever class, because the world is going to end. I call it, well, it's widely called catastrophism. But, you know, the reality is that the exploitation of workers and the exploitation of the land and its environment has gone hand in glove since the birth of capitalism. And it's only by ending that system of exploitation will we end the continual destruction of our environment. And beginning, you know, being part of fights to defend the environment, I think has to be part of what the unions are. And one of the key ways that we sort of put forward to address that immediately is for workers' control of safety on the job, include not just, you know, workers' individual safety, but the safety of communities, because we see that increasingly being threatened by the way these corporations organise and function. Whether it's, you know, the way farming is organised, as farmers are sort of driven to maximise returns on the land because of the massive debts that they face. And one of the things we raise is the idea to build unity among workers and farmers is to actually nationalise the land to enable farmers to be able to farm in a way that is both safe for them and the environment. And, you know, so they're not slaves to the banks. And we actually do have a system of food production that's beneficial to humanity.
So. Certainly. So I understand that a lot of kind of other groups, some that I've mentioned before, refuse to enter into this realm because it is that capitalist system. The Communist League obviously doesn't necessarily agree with that stance. How do you approach that issue, that the elections and the body that we kind of, the political body that we currently interact with is a capitalist product? How do you interact within that space?
Well, I think it's important that we do engage in the discussion that's going on. I mean, to sort of absent yourself from it leaves a massive gap. And so we've seen that get reflected in, for example, in politics in the United States and in Britain, where, you know, populists step forward to take advantage of the crisis that's going on. And we're saying, well, we need to fight for the leadership of working people and we need to engage in the discussion. And we can do that at the same time as we explain what its character is and its complete self-destructive capacity, without giving any credibility to what these institutions are and what they represent. So,
do you think that by making themselves absent on a political stage or as a political voice, they do create the spaces that kind of breed populism and kind of leave the voices of the working class actually unheard?
I'm not going to blame people for not. I think that the crisis comes from the capitalist system. I don't think it's a crisis caused by other people not joining the debate. But what I'm saying is that the Communist League, what we're trying to do is to enter into the debate with working people. Because, like, as I go door to door talking to workers on their doorstep, everyone expresses their complete dismay at the political processes and systems and local government, central government, and so forth. And beginning to engage in that discussion about what the alternative is extremely important, and not just to leave that field open to, those on the right or offering sort of what seems to be easy solutions as opposed to our need to organise ourselves independently. I mean, one thing that I think we bring into the discussion is the real concrete example of the Cuban Revolution, because in Cuba, working people took political power, and they've held that power for more than 60 years. And in doing so, they've done it in the face of a massive enemy from Washington. But they've done it based on the mobilization and organization of working people. And they continue to face aggression by Washington even today, continued stepped up sanctions. But the people of that country, they continue to fight and defend a system that they think brings better justice and is at the service of humanity. In fact, Cuban doctors are serving in their tens of thousands around the world and are renowned for it. Right now there's 60 in the Bahamas helping with the crisis of the Hurricane Dorian there. So it's a very concrete example of what is possible when working people take political power.
I've got one last question. It's not a very nice question, but it's a lot of media organizations have framed this mayoral race as a two-horse race. Where do you see yourself in this race? And if it is a two-horse race, what is the importance of other candidates standing and speaking up?
I think it's extremely important to have a wide range of voices engaging in the political debate. I think it's unfortunate that most of the media have just focused their campaign on their coverage of the campaign on the two leading candidates, because I think it denies people access to a broad range of views about what council is, what its role is, and what other candidates are putting forward. And in fact, it acts against the interests of democracy in doing so.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.